This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All acts of worship in the first place. a grateful heart will create the motivation in us to find out what Allah wants from us in the first place. Beyond the favorable results in the afterlife, gratitude has a transformative effect on our lives in this world. The Prophet said, عجب لأمر المؤمن إن أمره كله له خير وليس ذلك لأحد إلا للمؤمن. The situation of a believer is amazing because it's all good. And this isn't true for anyone else except for a believer. The Prophet ﷺ explained, he said, إن أصابته سراء شكر فكان خيرا له وإن أصابته ضراء صبر فكان خيرا له رواه مسلم. In times of ease, the believer is grateful, and so that ease is good for him. In times of hardship, the believer is patient, and so that hardship is also good for him. The implication of the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that if we find ourselves in times of ease and prosperity, and we aren't grateful for it, then that ease and prosperity is not good for us at all, but rather an affliction, a calamity, a trap. As Allah said in Surah Al-Kahf, we will be held accountable for every blessing that we are given. Every blessing requires a certain action and a certain orientation from us, so that it doesn't count against us on the Day of Judgment. We purify our material wealth by paying material charity in the form of zakat. Gratitude is the spiritual charity that is due upon every single blessing overall. As we also learn from the hadith, gratitude builds within us a resilience for times of difficulty and helps us to face those trials. We learn that our hardships are just as much gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If gratitude is the secret to success and tranquility in this life and in the next, the question we then have to ask is, how do we get it? How do we develop gratitude within ourselves? First step, since we depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything, we need to ask Him for it. This is one of the dua from the Quran. Allah azza wa jalla teaches us to say in Surah Al-Ahqaf, رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهَا وَعَلَى وَالِدَيْهَا وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. My Lord, inspire me to always be thankful for your favors which you blessed me and my parents with, and to do good deeds that please you. Gratitude is in itself a blessing from Allah, and Allah is the source of all blessings. Therefore, we must ask Allah to make us grateful servants. The Prophet ﷺ, he taught us by example to ask for gratitude after every single prayer. He used to say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika. Oh Allah, help me to remember you, and help me to be grateful to you, and help me excel in worshiping Him. That was number one, asking Allah. After asking Allah for gratitude and a grateful heart, the next step that we can take to be grateful is to learn and understand who Allah is, subhanahu wa ta'ala. If someone is uninformed about Allah, so that to them Allah is only a concept, only an idea, just a theory, that person does not have a strong enough conviction to produce a grateful heart. We can't bring ourselves to be grateful to just a concept or an idea. Only when the favor and constant bounty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is the reality that we firmly bear witness to and experience, will we be able to also experience gratitude. If someone is misinformed about Allah Azza wa Jalla, so that to them Allah is like a person who is sometimes petty, sometimes unfair, who needs us to worship him, that person does not have the right type of conviction that could ever produce a grateful heart. Who could be grateful to someone they believe possesses such flaws and imperfections? No one. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He blames the deniers of faith in the Qur'an, He often says, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِ. They underestimated Allah. They didn't properly account for who Allah was. If they had, if we truly understood who Allah is, the one who created everything, the one who nurtures and maintains everything, the one who knows everything, the one who provides everything, the one who forgives everything to those who repent with sincerity. When we understand the true nature of Allah, gratitude is automatic. We can't help but experience a grateful heart. After asking Allah for gratitude, and understanding who Allah is, we can become grateful by practicing gratitude and acting grateful. This is actually right in the same verse we mentioned earlier. رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرَ نِعْمَتَكَ الَّتِي أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيَّ وَعَلَى وَالِدَيَّ وَأَنْ أَعْمَلَ صَالِحًا تَرْضَاهُ. My Lord, inspire me to always be thankful to your favors which you blessed me and my parents with, and to do good deeds that please you. The Prophet again led the way in showing us how to put this into action. He would pray every night for long stretches, so that Aisha radiallahu anha would tell us that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ يَقُمُ مِنَ اللَّيْلِ حَتَّى تَتَفَقَّرَ قَدَمَاهُ. The Prophet used to stand in prayer at night until his feet would crack and bleed. So Aisha told him one day, فَقُلْتُ لَهُ لِمَا تَصْنَعُ هَذَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَقَدْ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ لَكَ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ. Why do you do this when Allah has already forgiven your past and future sins? The Prophet he said to her, أَفَلَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. مُتَفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. The Prophet would say, should I not want to be a grateful servant? The Prophet implies here that gratitude requires proof. It requires action. It would not have been enough to just say that we are grateful. He had to demonstrate his gratitude through his devotion and his worship. If that is true for the best of creation, then it holds true for us as well. It's not enough to say that we are grateful. We must demonstrate our gratitude with action and service. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب واستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله على إحسانه وشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه وأشهد أن نبينا وسيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله داعي إلى إخوانه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه. the importance of gratitude, how it is the lifeblood of all devotion and worship, then we must educate ourselves about the obstacles that stand in our way, preventing us from experiencing gratitude. One of those obstacles is entitlement. Sometimes, due to our own arrogance, we think that Allah owes us something. Either in this world or the next, this delusion prevents us from recognizing the magnitude of Allah's blessings and prevents us from being grateful. At-Tirmidhi narrates a hadith in his Sunan where the Prophet ﷺ tells us a story about a hermit who worshipped Allah Azza wa Jalla by himself on a mountain for 500 years. He asked Allah to let him die in prostration, and Allah let him die in prostration. When he was resurrected and he stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah said to the angels, "Put him in paradise according to my mercy." But the man protested. He said, "No, no. According to my actions, according to my deeds." Allah said a second time to the angels, "Put him in paradise according to my mercy." But the man again protested, "No, according to my deeds." This happened the third time. And so Allah said to the angels, "Bring the scale and weigh his deeds on one side against the blessing of his eyesight on the other." And they saw that the blessing of eyesight outweighed the man's 500 years of worship. Then Allah Azza wa Jalla told the angels to place on the scale the rest of the blessings just related to his body. His health, his hearing, his sound mind. And it was as if his 500 years of worship didn't weigh a thing. Allah then said to the angels, "So be it. Put him in hell according to his deeds." And the angels grabbed a hold of him and began to take him away. But he cried out, he said, "No, put me in paradise by your mercy." So Allah told the angels to stop. And then he asked the man, "Who created you from nothing? Was that from your deeds? Or was it from my mercy?" And the man said, "It was from your mercy." "Who made it possible for you to worship 500 years? The man said, "It was from your mercy." Who gave you water to drink and food to eat? And who took your soul while you were in prostration? The man said, "All of it was from your mercy, my Lord." Then Allah said, "Yes, by my mercy. And so by my mercy, you enter paradise." And he ordered the angels to take him once again to paradise. This is a fundamental principle in our theology. Our worship is merely a token representation of our sincerity and our gratitude. It is in no way reach the level of what we owe Allah, the amount of thanks and praise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves. Our worship is the very least we can do. And we depend upon Allah's mercy to reach paradise. This is true even for the prophets and messengers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "لَنْ يَدْخُلَ أَحْدٌ مِنْكُمْ الْجَنَّةَ بِعَمَلِهِ." Not a single one of you, the Prophet ﷺ said, will enter paradise by his deeds. Companions were surprised and they said, "Not even you, Messenger of Allah." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Not even me, only if Allah envelops me with his mercy and bounty." Another obstacle standing in our way of gratitude is jealousy. Jealousy for what others have us to the blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, robbing us of gratitude. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed us, saying, "Unguru ila man huwa asfal minkum, wa la tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum, fa huwa ajdaru an la tazdaru ni'matallahi alaykum." Look to those below you and don't look to those above you. That is so you don't belittle Allah's favors upon you. The human soul, it leans towards and yearns for whatever it doesn't have. We tell ourselves we will be happy once we get the next thing that we desire, whatever it is. But the reality is that there is no end to human desire. There is no satisfying human want unless we train our hearts upon gratitude. The Prophet is teaching us here that focusing on what we don't have is a disease. A disease that will prevent us from being grateful for Allah's blessings. There is always someone worse off than you. The solution is to spend time with those who have less than us, so that we appreciate what we do have. One last obstacle to gratitude is having a transactional relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that you worship Allah and obey His commandments, not out of gratitude, but because you want ease and prosperity in this life. Such a person really isn't worshiping Allah at all. Rather, his heart is set on his material interest. The Prophet told us of the danger of this attitude and also indicated to us how to identify it. He said, "Ta'isa 'abdu dinar wa dirham wa qatifa wa khamisa in u'tiya radiya wa in lam yu'ta lam yarda." Rawahu al-Bukhari. Ruined is the one who worships material wealth. He is happy when he has what he wants, and if he doesn't get what he wants, he's not happy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us that the sign of gratitude is being even keeled. It exists, that gratitude in our hearts, whether we get what we want or not. Because in the end we submit to Allah's will and His wisdom and are consoled by the certain faith that Allah knows best. If you find yourself struggling to be grateful when you don't get what you want in life, or even worse, when you go through hardship, we can find a good example of gratitude in this type of situation. In Shuraih, one of the Salaf, he said, "If I experience hardship, I thank Allah for four things. One, I thank Allah that it's not as bad as it could have been. Two, I thank Allah for granting me the patience to bear it. Three, I thank Allah that He gave me the opportunity to purify myself by going through it. And four, I thank Allah that it didn't affect my faith in Him." Fasting, Ramadan, is a fundamental exercise in building gratitude. Going all day without food and water, even though we still need to go to work, and we still need to go to school and do our daily tasks, it makes us appreciate the blessings we have so much more. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Fakhatan, fakhatun hina yuftir, wa fakhatun hina yalqa rabbah." The fasting person has two sources of happiness. One when he breaks his fast, and the other when he meets his sustainer with the reward of fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledged that breaking fast was a joyous occasion. As we say, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Without fasting, we wouldn't experience the same level of joy for our food and water, because we would take it for granted. Ramadan makes us think beyond our food and water to all the other blessings that we experience so often that we take for granted. Perhaps the greatest example of a blessing like this is our faith itself. Al-Islam. If you were born into a Muslim family, if your ancestors are Muslims, then you have the greatest possible blessing. But, like all blessings, if it was handed to you without much effort on your part, it's possible. And there's a danger that you're going to take it for granted. When the blessing of Islam is taken for granted, we don't realize what we have until it's gone. We see this firsthand living in the United States. Yaqeen Institute reports that nationally, one out of four Muslim youth will no longer identify as Muslim by the time they're an adult. A lot of this comes from the passive attitude of the adults. Back home, you never had to ask yourself this question: what can I do to make sure my children and grandchildren remain Muslims? But this is exactly the pressing question that we have in our community today. It is usually only when the children stop caring about their faith and begin resisting its expectations that we start to react. When this happens, most of us reach for the traditional markers of religiosity from back home, such as memorizing the Quran, learning about Islam, and while religious education is essential to building strong faith in our youth, Yaqeen Institute has found that the most significant factor in building the faith of our youth is having Muslim friends. In a study that they conducted, having Muslim friends increased the odds of seeing religion as important by 148%. Having Muslim friends increased the odds of having Orthodox beliefs by 186%. Having Muslim friends increased the odds of praying daily by a whopping 280%. Inshallah, this pandemic is slowly winding down, and our masjid on Campbell Street is getting closer to its completion. There will soon come a time when we are able to have activities in person again, and our youth must be one of the top priorities, if not the top priority. We continue to depend upon your support to finish the masjid so we have a place for these activities. And we will rely on your support going forward to start these programs, to maintain them, and to have our youth participate in them. If we are grateful for Islam, then let's show it. Let's show it by taking every opportunity to protect and strengthen our faith for ourselves and for our future generations. Umma sallu wa sallimu ala nabi rahman kama amarkum rabbukum haythu qal inna allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala muhammad wa ala ali muhammad kama sallaita ala ibrahim wa ala ali ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa barik ala muhammad wa ala ali كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم ارحم موتانا وأعف مبتلانا واشف مرضانا واهد ضالنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. يا عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.
فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم والله